Today I want to talk for a few minutes about the just war idea, and in particular to bring some historical and comparative perspective to that notion. Let me begin setting the table with some contemporary references. In December of 2009, President Barack Obama traveled to Oslo to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. In his remarks, he noted that there was some irony in this, given that he was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of a state that was involved in two wars. He then dedicated most of his remarks to the notion that sometimes military force is necessary to the achievement of peace, and along the way he mentioned the just war idea. The news coverage in the following days was interesting. The New York Times, for example, anytime the term just war fit into the story, put it in scare quotes, and one had the impression that Obama had done something unique or really new. Well, it certainly was noteworthy that he invoked the just war notion in his Nobel Prize remarks, but President Obama was not the first American president or public official to invoke the idea. Following the attacks of 9/11-2001, President George W. Bush often linked the war on terror with notions of justice. By way of contrast, in early 2003, former President Jimmy Carter's op-ed piece in the New York Times sought to express his opposition to the upcoming intervention in Iraq by means of invoking the just war idea. And only going back a little earlier in time, in January of 1991, President George H.W. Bush invoked the idea by way of offering a justification for Operation Desert Storm, the coalition effort to push back the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait. Recent presidents and public officials have been invoking the just war idea, not only in the United States, but in the UK, and to a lesser extent, across the EU and the states associated with NATO. One shouldn't, of course, get the idea that they talk about the just war idea all the time, or that it is the most decisive aspect of their decision making. But the fact that they invoke it, that the just war idea has some currency in current political and military discourse, is an interesting fact. It invites us to ask and to try to answer several questions. What is this idea? Where did it come from? And what is its purchase or its relevance in a global political order? First, then, to history. With respect to the just war idea, as with so many other aspects of Western culture, all roads lead to Rome. In the first century before the Common Era, the great Roman political figure and orator Cicero talked about the just war, bellum justum it was for him. Our phrase translates that Latin phrase. And he said that there was a fair code of just war embedded in the laws and traditions of the Roman people. War, in the first place, he said, is a public act to be authorized only by public officials. It's not a matter for private citizens. War is not the same thing as a bar fight or vigilante justice. It's an affair of state. Then, too, public officials who have the authority to commit the state to war aren't supposed to do so just for any cause. They have to have a just cause. And Cicero mentions defense of borders and coming to the aid of one's allies. Finally, in addition to these notions of right authority and just cause, Cicero talked about the way that those engaged in war show good intention by adhering to norms of honorable combat. So he mentions that in the Roman way of war, it was appropriate to offer a potential enemy terms of peace by which war could be avoided. Cicero mentions the way that Roman forces attempted to delimit damage to non-combatants, to those not directly involved in the fighting. And finally, he mentions avoiding evil means, no use of poisons, and so on. Now, these three notions, right authority, just cause, right intention, form the structure of the just war idea. And a variety of people have built into that structure, filled it up with content appropriate to their place and time throughout the course of Western civilizational history. So when Christian thinkers like Ambrose and Augustine spoke about war in the 4th and 5th centuries, they fused Cicero's basic outline with themes from the Bible. At a later point, Thomas Aquinas' brief summary of the idea filled out the basic structure with a substance apt for the era of Christendom. The modern form of the just war idea first comes together in the 16th and 17th centuries with the emergence of the order of states. As large European states, Spain, for example, France, the Netherlands, England, competed for resources in the New World and around the globe, theologians, philosophers, lawyers, political and military leaders all picked up the old idea and adapted it for their day. They made a just war idea, in other words, fit for a world of states, an international or interstate order. So right authority came to be associated with the government of a sovereign state. Just cause came to be primarily understood in terms of defense, whether of the territory of a state or of the rights of the citizens of that state, or in some cases, of the rights of citizens of other states who might be considered as suffering from oppression. Right intention as well came to be measured first in terms of a series of good faith tests that were to be followed or adhered to by those making a decision about committing their state to war. So such people needed to show right intention first by a good faith effort to estimate the overall costs and benefits of fighting. Would they be proportionate to one another? Then, two, those making decisions about committing their state to war needed to make a good faith effort to answer the question, is there a reasonable chance that military force will succeed in attaining the stated goals? There is a third good faith test for those making decisions about committing their state to war. In this case, they're asked to adhere to the aim of peace, meaning that they are to make a good faith effort to answer the question, what is the likely impact of war on the stability of international order? And finally, they are to answer the question, have we tried other means? This is the category of last resort. And the real question is war the most apt means to attain our ends, or might there be ways to resolve the issues short of military force? Those tests for right intention apply to those who make decisions about going to war. There are two others that apply to those who set military policy and carry it out, all the way down to soldiers on the line. The first of these is discrimination, or the good faith effort to distinguish between civilian and military targets, the idea being that only military targets should be directly and intentionally targeted. Then proportionality in means, the idea here being that one should only use that amount of military force that is necessary to the attainment of a legitimate military goal. In particular, one should try to delimit collateral damage, as we would call it today. In this scenario, one strikes at a military target, but some civilians are harmed in the process. The question is, has one made a good faith effort to delimit the number of civilian casualties in that case? Thus, in the 16th and 17th centuries, the just war idea was made fit for a world of states, and that idea is with us today. Contemporary discussions of the just war begin with arguments about aspects of the Second World War, specifically in connection with the Allied policy of bombing cities. The British philosopher Elizabeth Anscombe and an American Jesuit, John Ford, pointed out that Allied policy looked a lot like counterpopulation warfare, whereas the just war idea only countenances counter-force fighting. Soldiers fight soldiers. Those who are not part of the war effort are not supposed to be the direct and intentional targets of an attack. So counter-city bombing, Anscombe and Ford argued, couldn't pass the test of the just war concern to distinguish civilian from military targets. Following the Second World War, a variety of scholars invoked the just war idea in an attempt to illumine problems raised during the Cold War. Of these, the most widely read and discussed treatment was and remains that of the political scientist Michael Walzer, whose 1977 Just and Unjust Wars is now in its fourth edition. Walzer's book is read not only by scholars, but by a general audience, and the book has been used at the American service academies. It has a wide influence. It's interesting to read Walzer's explanation of how he came to be interested in the just war notion. He says that he and others opposed to American policy in Vietnam were searching for a vocabulary to express their views. They found eventually that they didn't really need to create something. The just war idea was at hand in the works of those who had come before. The results of Walzer's analysis are wide-ranging, as the basic structure of right authority, just cause, and right intention is brought to bear on a number of issues that are with us still: counterinsurgency, terrorism and guerrilla war, torture, and the like. Now, Walzer's book is, of course, one among many. James Turner Johnson's work deserves mention, as does the post-9/11 writing of Jean Bethke Elstein. Indeed, over the last three decades, one could fairly say there's a veritable explosion of scholarly writing on the idea. That's enough to explain its currency, though perhaps we need one more bit of history in order to explain how presidents and public officials came to invoke the just war idea. In 1983, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops published a pastoral letter evaluating U.S. nuclear policy. As the document indicates, the audience was Catholics and, more generally, people of goodwill. The bishops raised numerous questions about nuclear weapons, not least with respect to the policy of deterrence, that is, the attempt to build stockpiles of nuclear weapons in order to convince a potential enemy that the costs of attacking would outweigh the benefits. The details were interesting. It suffices to say that the bishops thought nuclear deterrence could not be justified as a long-term policy, and so they urged negotiations intended to draw down existing stockpiles of weapons. More important than those details, though, for our purposes, is this. As officials in an institution, the bishops could be perceived as representing or influencing millions of citizens. In other words, they made the just war idea into a political force. And it was not only the U.S. bishops who did this. Their French and German colleagues took up the just war idea. Pope John Paul II spoke in its terms. Protestant churches attempted to enter the fray, and particularly among evangelicals, the just war idea gained currency. So I think it's important to note, then, that when George H.W. Bush invoked this just war idea in January of 1991, he was speaking to the National Association of Religious Broadcasters. No doubt he and his advisors crafted the speech with a view toward countering public statements issued by the U.S. Catholic bishops and the National Council of Churches, both expressing opposition to the war. So the just war idea is a part of public discourse. It's not the only or most important of the ways people talk about the rights and wrongs of military force. It has a place at the table, along with international law, strategic and military doctrines, and a number of other approaches. Sometimes these approaches are in competition with the just war idea. Sometimes they complement one another. Now, more briefly, I want to turn to comparative perspectives, where the question might be framed this way. The just war idea has a long history in Western culture. Is it a parochial phenomenon tied to the special experience of Europe and the Americas, or is there a global component to the notion? These days, scholars of comparative religion are writing a lot about this matter. So are people who study international relations and international law. The inquiry is ongoing, and we can't speak, obviously, in final results, but I think we can say the following with some confidence. First, we should expect to find, and indeed we are finding, that every long-standing civilizational or cultural tradition has at one time or another developed a way of speaking about military force that constitutes an analogy with the just war idea, that is, with its basic structure of right authority, just cause, and right intention. This notion that war is a public act and thus to be authorized by established public officials, that it should be conducted for just cause, like defense of territory or rights, and that those making decisions about war as well as carrying out the fighting should demonstrate right intention by adherence to norms of honor. These things we find in almost every civilizational and cultural tradition. A second thing is also true, though. We should expect to find, and indeed we are finding, that the ways diverse traditions fill out this structure can vary considerably. In my own work on Islam, for example, it's clear that a traditional judgment about the need for a state ordered in terms of an establishment of Islam colors just war thinking. What Muslim scholars call ahkam al-jihad, the judgments pertaining to jihad, here in the sense of armed struggle. Right authority in this context comes to mean the officials of a state in which Islam is established. Just cause has to do with establishing, maintaining, and defending an Islamic state. Right intention has to do with fighting in ways consistent with this goal, not least with adhering to the order of the Prophet Muhammad to fighters. Do not cheat or commit treachery. Do not kill women, children, the old, the lame, the blind, religious officials, and others who are non-combatants. Now, I think particularly at that last point, it's clear there's overlap with the substance of the just war idea. That order attributed to the Prophet, by the way, is part of the reason why there's such a vigorous debate today among Muslims of various perspectives about the tactics and claims of a group like Al-Qaeda, which wants to say that the Prophet's order, which requires distinguishing civilian and military targets, doesn't apply in the current context. So there's a vigorous debate because of this point on which Islamic tradition seems to overlap with the just war idea. At the same time, there's clearly also difference between the judgments pertaining to armed struggle and just war thinking, not least in the way that right authority is tied to the public officials of a state in which Islam is established. Let me leave you with this. One of the great tasks of our day, at least with respect to the just war idea, has to do with this kind of comparative inquiry. We need to know where there are shared judgments, as well as to know where there are substantive differences between various religious and cultural traditions. I'd like to encourage some in the audience to take up that task and to be part of this discussion.